Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Capitan, giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Yeah, man. Got one. Hey, you know, I think of my life in terms of blessings. You know, I take mostly a positive approach and a positive spin to my life. I hardly ever dwell on, I can't say that I don't think about the what's wrong in it because I have to address problems as they arise, but I try not to let them consume me. I let the consumption part be about the blessings, the positive things that has occurred in my life, the good things that God has done for me, the power that he's displayed in my life, the protection he's given me over the years, to being tucked under his wings. I focus on the things that he promises me. I think of all the goodness that I perceive to come my way. I think that has a lot to do with me learning more and more about the law of attraction in terms of, you know, what you think and what you put out in the space and what you pray about is what you receive, you know. And so I've become better and better at that. It's not to say that I'm not human and I don't have moments where I think a little bit too long about what's going wrong and what enemy is about to attack and what they're going to do and say and all of this here. So that's not to say that I'm not concerned about it, but I try to dwell mostly on the positive. And one of the things that I learned, you can have an incredible life. All of you, all of us, we can have incredible lives if we just let God drive. See, the problem that I had years ago was I was the driver of my life and I was taking myself in the directions that I thought would be best for me. And I aimed at things that I thought I could accomplish. And I set goals that I saw myself being able to attain. I was driving. When I gave up and I let God drive, I then opened up my mind and my spirit to what God had for me, for what God could see for me, for what God could do in my life, for what God wanted for me. Now, he wanted for me and he wanted of me. See, that's the connection that you got to try to make. Well, not try. That's the connection that you got to make to really get it. Now, listen to me. What I don't want you to do is do like me. Don't be afraid of the what for, of the what he wants you to do part. See, because that ain't going to be nearly as demanding and as offsetting as you think it's going to be. See, I thought that if I did God's will, that if I let God tell me what to do, that it would cause me to not to be able to do a certain some things I wanted to do. Well, which is true, but the stuff I wanted to do was all detrimental to my well-being and my future and my growth and development as a man. I was stopping my own growth as a man because, see, I was doing what I thought I should do as a man. But when you give it over to God, see, God has a much better plan for you than you can ever have for yourself. And God knows a better way, far better than the one you know. I want you to believe that, man. You got to understand that part of it. And that's the part that I finally got through my head, to let God do it his way and to show me a better way. And to teach me a better way and expose to me a better way. And when I opened up my mind to what God was talking about, I began to see things totally differently. And things started coming to me totally differently. If you've been a friend of mine or a fan of mine over the years, I mean, you've had to see it, the change. You've had to see the difference. I mean, and I acknowledge that every chance I get, because I promised God I would, and I hope that I'm not falling short in that category. But then again, if I told it all day long what he done for me, I still wouldn't have enough time to really explain thoroughly what he's done for me, because it's such a continuous growth in me. But now, that's not to say that I'm finished or I'm done or I'm complete, because I'm still short. And that's the cold thing about it, man. See, no matter how good you get at it, you ain't going to ever be the best you can be. You're just not, because you're going to fall short. You can't be him. You can strive for perfection. I hear people saying it all the time. I applaud you for saying you want to be perfect, but you ain't. And you can't. And you're not. And you aren't. And you won't. And you will not. And so you quit saying it. You quit saying it to me. Quit saying it to other people. I'm seeking a life of perfection, but it's something that you cannot have because he said you can't do it. But that's what he there for. He there for the moments when you stumble and you fall, and you gonna stumble and fall. So you got to get that part right, man. The stumbling, falling part is coming. But see, you get God in your life and it helps you so that you don't stumble, fall, wallow, roll over, lay there, languish. That's what God is for. So when you stumble and fall, you get back up, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get it wrong. You're going to come under attack. You're going to be lied about. You are going to be falsely accused. That's going to happen to you the moment you make a decision to do better, the moment you try to be more, the moment you try to get it right. The devil got to send his attackers, man, and he controls certain people. He just got people that's on his side 24/7. You know them too. You've all met one or two of them in your life. They just busy with the business of nothingness. They just busy about the destruction of others. You say, I know them. You know them. They coming. But here's what you got to hold fast to. They can't take away nothing from you that God gave you. They didn't make you. See, people who claim to have made you, if they so in the make you business, why don't they make they self? Or if they ain't with you no more and they so busy in the I made you business, why don't they make somebody else? Since you want to get credit for making somebody, make yourself. If you're responsible for someone else's success, then you should easily be able to take claim and be responsible for your own success. See, be careful of that. And don't change your course because somebody's attacking you with that. You keep doing what you're doing. I just hope, man, that I'm giving it to God the way I said I would give it to him, that I would unload every chance I got that I was supposed to without being, you know, oh, here he come again. You know, I try not to be that. But, man, I don't know what else to be for the first 12 minutes of my show. What else you want me to say? I got 4 hours. I can't give God 12 minutes, man. I mean, for real, Steve? Come on, man. I mean, let's look at this right here. It's like, for example, it's like detoxing your body, which is one of the most healthy things you can do for your body, is to detox your system and clean out the pipes and the liver and the blood and get it all together, give your kidneys a break and all like this. Okay, right? Okay. But to detox it properly, it takes 21 days, right? And I hear a lot of people talking about, 21 days, I ain't got. But see, hold up, man. If the 21 days out of 360 days a year, you ain't got 21 to straighten yourself out, you ain't got 21 days to give yourself a better shot at health, I mean, that's crazy to me once you wrap your mind around it. See, and so, like, if you give an honor to God just 12 minutes out the day, dog, he gave you 24 hours of luxury and life and breath and hope and promise. You ain't got 12 minutes to give him out the day? That don't make no sense. What an exchange. What a wonderful life God has given me in exchange for so small of effort that I put forth. Don't let the effort you got to put forth to God seem so daunting that you don't attempt to do it, because, man, it seems like a lot. It ain't nothing compared to what he be giving us, for real. So if you want a real life, you want a real shot at what you can be, what you can have, what you can own, what you can become, who you really are, go to God, let him fix you, man. That's all.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show on the biggest day of 2018. It is voting day. It's moving time. We need everybody. We've got to make this happen. Let's get at it. Let's get started. Shirley Strawberry, Carla Pharrell, Junior, Tommy Tong.
Woo, we voted morning, already.
We voted already.
I mean, we cheerleading today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Getting them out there.
Yes.
Gotta go.
It's a vote on today, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Make every vote count today. Let's
very,
go.
Very important election. Very important. I hope you realize how important this election is. Yeah. Not just for us, for you. For your, you know, for your community. For your church.
For your future,
for your school.
Your children.
Yes, yeah. All of that.
You for your grandmama.
Yeah, you gotta vote today. This is important. Yeah, especially for people who think that their vote does not count. Your vote counts. That's what they want you to think. So you can stay at home and not participate in the process. Please, don't listen to the hype. Your vote counts. Your vote is your voice. Please.
You know, my husband was at work, and he was talking to a younger guy working there. And he said, well, I'm not going to vote because my vote don't count. My husband turned around and said, you do realize they add them up,
right?
I do realize that, so I need you to get down there. If I hear you say that again,
see,
it's gonna be a problem.
If you vote, they get to say your number,
right?
They add them up.
They
get
know.
Down to the polls, man.
I mean, man, we can't use excuses, and I don't want our listeners to be complacent. We have some great listeners.
Yes, we do.
But you know, man, we've got to be and encourage somebody else to vote. Mm-hmm. Make them understand the importance. I know the complacency that normally happens during midterms. They don't get excited like they do for president, especially in 2008 and 2012, because Obama was running. I got it. But Obama has been out here pushing and pushing and pushing to get you to understand the importance of this. We have the other side a bit nervous, and you need them to be concerned, because you've got to have a balance, man. You can't have a White House, a House, and a Senate that represents the minority of the country. Because what does the majority do? Mm-hmm. It's the minority. I was watching a Trump rally on TV. I don't know. Did you see that they got the black dude back again?
Yeah, I saw that.
No, I missed that.
I missed it.
He's standing in the back.
Dog, the black dude again with the glasses on top of his head. The one that said blacks for Trump.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But it was just, he's back there again in the same spot, a couple of rows down lower. And I don't know where they found these Native Americans with the authentic Native headdress on.
Really?
They found three Native Americans, if they were Native Americans, formal headdress on. You know, the feathers?
Yeah.
That's makeup.
We know.
That's got to be makeup.
I mean, but man, if it is, that's going to be the worst thing you could have done. But I don't know where they found these three Native Americans.
That's so funny.
That's voting for Trump.
We'll come back and talk more about the election.
They must live in his building. I owe some money.
We'll be back at 32 after, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, today is it. We've been talking about it already. Seems like we've been talking about this forever. I certainly hope, Steve, that all of our talking pays off at the polls
today. I think
today.
It will.
I hope so.
Because I think that there was a poll on CNN that said they polled seven out of ten people are voting to send a message to the White House.
That's right, yeah.
And Donald Trump, man, when he could... A vote for this is a vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. He's making this about him.
Right.
It's always
about him. He always does. Oh. Yeah. Everything is about him.
Just act like my name's on the ballot.
I like it, man.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Man, this guy right here, he wants everything to be about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything.
And he wants to be liked.
Well, that's not going to happen.
He really wants to be liked.
No, Tommy, he is, though.
He's liked?
His base, he's president.
Saw the rallies.
Yeah. He president.
Tommy, he has. There's some people who clap for him who think every word out of his mouth is just the greatest thing that's happening. It's kind of disturbing to see.
Yeah, it really.
Because
is,
especially when he says something that's just, you can't possibly think it's okay. These killings have slowed our momentum. Not that we should be have our momentum slowed by these crazies that have committed these murders this week, but it did slow our momentum. You just go, what did you just say?
What?
You know, man,
the city of Pittsburgh was grieving when you said mm-hmm. that. I could not man. Believe he said that.
You know, I do stupid stuff deliberately. Mm. But he not even trying.
I ain't gonna say everything.
I don't think everything you do is deliberate.
No. Ain't nobody.
Hell no.
Ain't nobody. Okay.
No, we're not with you.
But you know
you're
the thing about you, Tommy, though. you are a certain way, but you're not a bad guy.
Thank you, sir.
You know, man.
No,
you're not
a good heart. He has a good heart.
You know, man. You're not a mean person. Your stupidity is confined.
Thank you.
Does he have a mean streak, you think, Steve?
No, he'll snap. He's not mean, though.
He's not mean, guy.
At his core, no.
He's
a good heart.
I mean, he's human, and he gets mad, but...
Past human.
Does he get mad?
Stop.
Yeah, this ain't...
See, here you go. He about to get mad.
Yeah.
No, really?
No, I'm not.
Really? When you hear really twice,
it's
time to start
shut it
running.
Down. Last time you shut it down, Steve.
Oh, I saw it.
I don't want to hear it today. You sat straight up, Steve. You said, not today.
Hey.
If y'all don't see this coming.
Sometimes we're just here for it, but you were not here for it that day.
And then plus the subject matter.
Oh,
y'all, that's why I said, boy, y'all don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He not finna play about this.
Because we all know how to push each other's buttons. And Tommy's like,
that's what's wrong. We've been together so long, everybody know everybody's button.
Tommy's so easy, man.
Who do you think is the biggest button pusher on the show?
Shirley Strawberry.
Shirley.
Wow.
Shirley Strawberry. Hands down.
And we'll throw an alley oop so somebody else can push it. It don't even look like she pushed it.
Hands down.
Yeah, Shirley.
The biggest mess starter.
Yeah, she pushed the button.
It's all now, in love.
You keep it going.
Yes.
Oh, now you a great alley ooper now. You will make the dunk.
It is.
How am I in the air?
Oh.
And you throw it to me. And I don't dunk. I almost feel like I'm obligated. Sometimes I don't even be wanting to.
But you got to do it.
But I'm up here by the rim.
Sometimes it's just inevitable. There. It's just right there dangling. So, you know.
Yeah, but he do Dr. J dunks. He take it and bring it back around.
Yeah.
I bring it back and make the ball touch my butt.
All right, somebody on this show, not necessarily on the mic, but someone on this show has her lips poked out.
Mississippi Montaka.
Today is her birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. From the sip, baby.
And want y'all to know that this election is blocking.
Yes.
Yeah.
What this day really is.
That is so true.
We should be frying catfish this morning, really.
You know,
I mean,
you're
for the sip, you know.
Hey, man, do you know that I walked through my kitchen last night, and that was fried catfish.
Where?
At my house.
Did you eat a piece?
Hell yeah, he ate a piece.
You no, he's on that diet.
I mean, why are you bringing it up? Because of pimping?
He's on a vegan.
No, because of
he's
Monica.
A vegan now.
You know, okay, catfish.
Yeah, he's a vegan.
But wait. You're a vegan with fish, though, right? I mean.
No, that's not a vegan. A vegan is no animal.
Wait, what is a Presbyterian? What's it called?
Pescatarian.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
Presbyterian is a religion food. Wow. See, once again.
Well, you praying for fish. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them, right? But you didn't eat no fish when you passed by the kitchen?
Yeah, I took a nugget.
Thank you. Tell me something, man.
He's mad.
Tell me you're still human.
Yeah, I tried not to.
I know, but it's catfish, though.
I took a nugget.
It don't get no better.
I'm not gonna be able to do this.
Do what, Steve?
Be a vegan. I can't.
Not going into the holidays. No, sir.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the holidays. I said I was going to do it all the way to Thanksgiving. But,
how's that working out?
I'm just not, the food choices. Uh-huh. And then, you know, like Marjorie eats fish. She eats no chicken or meat. Mm-hmm. Oh, but she eats fish. And it's kind of tough walking past that fish a lot of times. And then my in-laws are here.
Oh,
they
Lord.
They eat real food.
They had no damn dietary.
I love it, too.
Well, come on now. You live all your life doing well. Come on. At some That's, point, you got to have some
damn some pork chops and gravy, though.
Man. Smothered rice. Rice and onions.
See, I want to eat your mother-in-law's cooking. That's what I want to eat her cooking.
I ain't had that in so long. Does it still taste the same?
Pork chop?
Yeah.
You ain't? Oh,
man, I what you can't have with sickle cell?
No.
No, so you just gonna dunk that one right there.
Huh? I told you, he'll dunk
him. All right, look, we gotta get out of here. Please, please, please. We're gonna be reminding you all day. Vote today. Coming up next, it is the nephew. He's here with Run That Prank Back. It's coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in 20 minutes after next hour, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams will be our special guest. We love her. Yeah. We're pulling for you, Miss Abrams.
Yeah.
Governor Abrams. Plus, at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Rihanna doesn't want her music played at Trump rallies anymore. Okay, you better stop.
Let's put a stop to
okay,
that.
You better stop.
All right,
yeah.
Let's do
okay.
that right now.
Right now, it's time for Run That Prank Back.
You married your brother.
Oh.
No.
I don't know if he's yelling at me or if he's just yelling.
I'm yelling at the lady on the prank.
Because you're looking at me, though.
I'm looking at you, but man, I'm telling us it's the lady on the prank.
Okay.
You mad at your brother.
Oh, God. Steve, get him.
Run that prank right now. You mad at your brother.
Too long.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a yard. Carmen, please.
This is she.
Hi, Carmen. My name is Keith. Keith, I'm calling you from Keith's Insurance Group.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. You and your husband, what is it, Harvey? Harvey, is that right?
Yes, it's Harvey.
Okay, you guys actually put applications and actually went in and got your physicals done for life insurance, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I actually am calling you from the insurance group. I have you all's lab results and everything as far as your physicals and blood tests and things of that nature. Is there any way I could possibly talk to both of you guys at the same time, you and Harvey? Is that possible?
Well, sure. He's at work right now, but I can get him on the phone.
Okay. It would be it'd be kind of easy if I kind of explained everything to both of you guys at the same time. If that's okay.
Okay. Is something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong. I mean, I think I need to just try to bring a few things to you guys' attention. But I think, you know, after that, it's pretty much you guys' decision on what you do. But I just wanted to let you know a few things about, you know, the results and things of that nature, life insurance, the whole nine yards. Okay.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me see if I can get him on the phone. Hey, babe.
Hey, sweetheart.
Look, I got the insurance people on the line. They want to try to get both of us on the phone to talk to us about the insurance stuff.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Harvey, how you doing? This is Keith. Keith from Keith's Insurance Group. How are you?
Hey, good. What's happening, Keith?
Good. Listen, I wanted to give you guys a call and kind of follow up. You guys did physicals and blood tests and the whole nine yards, and I wanted to give you guys a call. It's kind of better if I talk to both of you guys at the same time. So do you have a minute that we can actually use to kind of get some of this information out to you?
Yeah. I'm fine, man. I'm on a little break right now. I'm good.
Okay, great. First of all, we've gotten all your lab results back, everything, and I kind of got a few questions for you guys that I'm a little puzzled on. How long have you guys actually been married?
We've been together about three years.
Okay, now, prior to being married 3 years, how long did you guys know each other before you got married?
What'd you say, babe? About 5.5, 5, 6 years?
Yeah, about 6 years.
Okay. You guys have been knowing each other pretty close to 9 years now?
Yeah. All together, yeah.
Okay. Are you actually from the same hometown? Did you grow up in the same hometown?
Yeah,
we grew up. Is this about the insurance or?
Well, I mean, there's a few things that's actually puzzling, Carmen, that we need to. This is some news I actually didn't want to bring you guys, but I mean, I have to actually give you this news. Looking at our records, looking at all the test results, and let me be the first to tell you that we run these results over and over and over, trying to make sure we are completely 115-120% right, okay?
What's the problem with the test?
Well, looking at our test, guys, Harvey, Carmen, it's indicating that you guys are related. And 9 times out of 10, you guys are siblings.
What?
Hold on, man. What?
I understand the shock. It took everything I had to make this phone call. I did not want to make it. But looking at our records, and we went over these records over and over, and the blood work tells us that you guys are actually siblings.
Man.
You don't make no sense.
Kidding.
Are you serious?
This is not a laughing matter, not a joking matter. You know, like I said, I did not want to call with this information.
Well, you did make the call, man.
Look, you need to go back. I don't know what you need to go back and double check your records or something because we've been married 3 years.
Check with the lab, man. Can you check with the lab and, like, call us back and let us know they made a mistake?
You know what, Harvey? I knew those questions would come up, and we went over it. We went over it and over it and over it.
Well, y'all need to go over it again because that don't make no damn sense.
Hold on, baby. I got this. You make the call, and this got to be wrong. So what you need to do is make another call and call the lab and call us back and let us know that you either know they made a mistake or something. You talking about me and my wife.
And I understand it, Harvey. Harvey, let me ask you this. Is it possible, you know, and this is just a question. Is it possible that your dad and maybe her mom maybe knew each other at some point? And
What the f*** you say about my mom and dad?
That's some straight Look, you need to go back and do whatever you need to do. But if I tell you what, you say some like that again, I tell you my baby's going to be coming down there and beat your for saying some like that.
Yeah, hold on, baby. I got this. Hold on, I got it, baby. How the you gonna call me with this? I don't know where you from, but people do like that, but that ain't
all I'm doing, sir, is bringing you the results.
Why don't you bring me the results in person, and I bet I'll whoop your
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, sir, even if you beat the messenger, at the end of the day, that's still your sister.
At the end of the day, I'm gonna whoop your
Look, I don't care what the you talking about. He ain't my damn brother.
I'm gonna find out where the you are, whatever cubicle you in. You gonna call me talking about we brother and sister. That's my wife.
I understand that, sir. But somewhere down the line, somebody made a mistake, and you guys, a brother and sister, got married. I'm not at fault for that.
Well, let me tell you this. Don't you make the mistake of calling either one of these numbers again in your life.
Sir, I got one more test result I do need to give
you. Oh, you got more
All what you've been talking about, Ben, what else you got to say now? That's going to be worse than this.
The only other test result I have, ma'am, is that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend.
I told you I ain't like her.
Hey, I got one more thing I got to ask both of y'all. What is the baddest, and I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show.
That is, you mad at your brother. You mad what?
Okay.
It could happen today.
Today? Election day?
Election day.
Election day? I don't know about that, Junior.
Ain't nobody got time for that today, Junior. We got to vote.
Hey, let me ask, what is Monica doing for her birthday?
We already voted, so.
And nobody has catfish yet, so if we fry some fish for her, at least
Cook some grits.
And cook fish and grits. Which, let's do that.
Okay.
When we get off work.
Okay.
So about 10:30, 11, we fry some
we'll
fish
do that.
And grits.
Yeah.
Brunch, so to speak.
Okay, I like it. All right, we got to go. Hey, up next in entertainment news, Rihanna says she does not want her music played at Trump rallies anymore. Stop it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at 20 after the hour, Stacey Abrams will be our special guest. She is running for a Democratic governor of Georgia. Thank you very much. She will be our first African-American female to win that post.
I love it.
And she can do it if you get out and vote. Do your part. But right now, in today's entertainment news, Steve, Rihanna says she does not want her music being played at Trump rallies anymore. The presidential playlist wasn't even on Riri's radar until she got a tweet from Washington Post reporter Philip Rucker, who wrote, it's been said a million times, but here's a million and one. Trump's rallies are unlike anything else in politics. Currently, Rihanna's Don't Stop the Music is blaring in Chattanooga as aides toss free Trump T-shirts into the crowd like a ball game. Everyone's loving it. Rihanna responded, not for much longer, okay?
Yeah.
Me nor my people would ever be at or around one of these tragic rallies. So thanks for the heads up, Philip.
Yeah.
Remember last month, Pharrell was upset. We talked about that on this show. He did not want his song Happy being played. He was upset when he heard his song Happy. It was being played at Trump rallies.
Happy at a Trump rally with all this sad ass information.
Yeah. I think it's...
Who's
DJing
the rally? But that's what we need to find out. Who's DJing the rally? Who's playing this music?
But don't worry. He'll get a letter shortly.
Okay.
Cease and desist. Cease and desist.
Want to play Kanye?
Hello.
Play your son's music.
Gold digger. What is he gonna play?
I ain't saying he no gold digger.
All right. In other entertainment news, Wesley Snipes is in trouble again with the IRS.
He can't be. You can't be.
I don't think he ever got out of the last one, Steve.
When you go to jail, dog.
Yeah,
but when you get out, you still owe, don't you? You don't just...
You got to pay. Don't, if you go to jail for something... Go ahead, Shirley. What's the story?
But you gotta work. How many movies you seen since he been out?
I wish his TV show had made it, because I really liked his TV show.
What was it, The Player?
Yeah, The
One in Vegas, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, it was
What's
good.
The story, Shirley?
All right. Why are you mad, Steve?
Because Wesley in trouble.
I just can't deal with it. Come on.
Okay. All right, listen. They want him to pay $23.5 million. Wesley claims he's only got $850,000. Basically, Wesley, who served 3 years in jail after being convicted of 3 misdemeanor counts of failing to file tax returns, wanted to settle his case and have the lien taken off his house. The IRS lowered his original bill from $23.5 to $17.5 million, and they rejected his offer. Now he's filed a petition to overturn that decision.
You know what I think?
So he's fighting it.
I think Steve should give it to him. I think
here's the deal. You know, if you I think the IRS is a bit unfair.
Yeah.
If you haven't filed and you owe the money, and then you go, you've been out of work 3 years because you've been in prison. Mm-hmm. You can't make it. So where's he going to get it from? You know, I mean, and then 3 years in jail, I mean, you got your 23. Come on, man. That's being a little bit much.
I think so. It is. Well, it's a lot of money.
Better get busy in these movies. Passenger 58 coming.
You can't just go make movies.
Yeah, you got to have the backing. You got to have...
Who want food?
Yeah.
you got to be a box office draw.
Yeah,
you
do. Yeah.
Don't nobody know nothing, huh?
All right, Steve. It's time for today's
Ladies
election.
And gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. And let's get this on. This is Election Day, and everything is important, and all of you are important, okay? Your vote matters. Voters taking part in today's midterm elections could change the balance of power on Capitol Hill. Up for grabs today, all 435 seats in the House of Representatives, 35 seats in the U.S. Senate, Democrats need at least 23 wins in the House to wrest power from the Republicans. In addition, there are almost 40 gubernatorial races to be decided, as well as the makeup of state legislatures. Today's balloting, seen as a referendum on the Republican Party's control of Congress and, of course, on President Trump's popularity. The president campaigned for GOP candidates in three states yesterday, Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri. Trump has hosted some 30 political rallies since Labor Day. He says he's feeling positive about the Republicans' hold on the Congress.
I think we're doing well. I think the Senate, we're doing very well. And I think we're going to do very well in the House.
Meanwhile, Trump says that he seems to be hedging his bets, as he often does. He's warning everybody on Twitter now that illegal voting will be prosecuted, strongly prosecuted, were his words. The president falsely claimed, you may remember, after the 2016 elections, that millions of votes were illegally cast because he lost the popular vote in the presidential election by some 3 million. Meanwhile, former President Obama has also been campaigning, but for the Democrats, of course, because he says this one's important.
Healthcare is on the ballot. You vote, you might save a life. That's pretty rare where that happens. Making sure working families get a fair shot, that's on the ballot. But most importantly, the character of this country is on the ballot. Who we are is on the ballot.
And Mr. Obama campaigned in Gary, Indiana over the weekend and in Fairfax, Virginia yesterday. By the way, he reminded people of something people on the other side of the aisle are not telling anybody. Meanwhile, thousands of fake Democrats have disappeared from the internet. Now that Twitter deleted a bunch of faker bots set up to discourage voting from sympathizers of the Democrats, the social media site says it recently dumped more than 10,000 automated accounts posing as Democrats that were trying to discourage Democratic men from voting, claiming something silly like that would supposedly drown out the voices of the women in the party, something stupid like that. And according to an Atlanta TV station, a white supremacist group has released a racist and sexist and anti-Semitic robocall to Georgia voters with a man pretending to be Oprah Winfrey, targeting black female gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, despite the fact that the real Oprah actually campaigned for Miss Abrams last week. Finally, today is National Basketball Day.
They're playing basketball.
But we're not playing, okay? This is Election Day. We're not playing today. Gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams is our special guest at 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, everybody, joining us now. We promised you it was going to be a morning of just some great interviews today. We have the Democratic gubernatorial candidate in the state of Georgia. She will be the first African-American female governor in Georgia.
Yes.
And as the next governor of Georgia, she's committed to expanding Medicaid, improving public schools, creating good-paying jobs across the state. She's uniquely equipped to create a Georgia where everyone has the freedom and opportunity to thrive. This is one of the tightest governor's races in the nation. And your vote today, and we are harping on this and have been for the past 6 weeks, your vote today matters. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Miss Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hello. Well, Miss Abrams, how are you?
I am good. You know, we are 12 hours away from victory. This is huge, and I'm just so honored to be in the position to help make history in America.
This has been a tough race. How would you describe this campaign, and what do you think you've tried to convey?
I think that this has been a very tough campaign and spirited. But what I've tried to do from the very beginning is stand on my values. I was raised by my parents to believe in faith and family and service, and that we have a responsibility to do what's right. And so if you look at my campaign from the beginning till the very end, we have run on the same three issues: education, healthcare, and jobs. Because I know if you have access to those three things, your life can be better in Georgia and across the country.
Yeah. Hey, now let me talk to you about healthcare for 1 second. Because we're getting some conflicting information, because all of a sudden I've noticed that your opponent and other opponents in the other party are saying that they don't want to do away with pre-existing conditions. But what they're actually doing is actually that very same thing.
I think the word you're looking for is they're hypocrites. and that's part of the challenge of this election. That they have counted on, especially in midterms, they've counted on people not paying attention. And what has happened is that they work hard to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, to block access to Medicaid expansion. They voted multiple times to end protections for pre-existing conditions. And they're hoping that the short-term memories and long-term memories of voters won't recall what they've done. Part of the responsibility that I've had, that candidates across this country have had, is to remind people of who they are, that these are not people you can trust with your health care, with your jobs, or with your education, because they are not going to tell us the truth.
Yeah. What's been, Ms. Abrams, the thing that you've wanted to stress the most in your campaign? If you could pull out one or two points, what you're stressing?
I talk about Medicaid expansion because it is the crux in a state like Georgia of so many other opportunities. We have 500,000 Georgians who are denied access to health care. That means if you have a stroke in certain parts of the state of Georgia, you can die before you see a doctor. But it's also about the economics. It's about making sure that we can create thousands of jobs across Georgia. And then most personally to me, it's about criminal justice reform. And people don't think about Medicaid expansion and criminal justice in the same breath. But in the Deep South, the number one provider of mental health care is not our hospitals, it's our prison system. And we have a lot of folks who are going to jail because they haven't gotten the help they need for bipolar disorder, for schizophrenia, for a range of mental health challenges.
We're going to take a short break. We have the next governor of Georgia, if we do our job today. The next governor of Georgia, Ms. Stacey Abrams, stay right there. We'll be right back with more with the future governor of Georgia.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
We're back, and we're talking with Ms. Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor today. We got to get out to the polls. Let me get back to this. Do you think that people out here really understand that what your opponent is against, as well as so many other Republicans, they're against things that they call set-asides? And Medicaid fits into that category as a set-aside for them.
Medicaid is about covering a gap. What people have to remember is that the way we get health care in America is through insurance. You get private insurance through your employer. If you are older or if you're disabled, you get Medicaid. If you're elderly, you can get Medicare. But there is nothing for those who work full-time but don't get coverage unless they can pay for it out of pocket. Medicaid expansion provides coverage, but it reduces costs for everybody. Because the reality is poor people get sick and they go to the doctor. The problem is if they can't pay the bill, the rest of us do. Medicaid expansion means that they actually put their part of the bill through a common pool. That reduces everyone's costs. And it's actually the smartest economic decision we can make in Georgia.
Wow. Oh, okay, now let me stay here for a second, because Medicaid and education, these are things that affect Republicans also.
Absolutely.
What is it that the Republican Party is saying to their constituents that's causing them to not understand that?
Well, what's happening in Georgia is it's no longer working. 70% of Georgians want Medicaid expansion, and here's why. They've lost hospitals in Republican districts. They've lost jobs in Republican districts. Their kids can't go to well-funded schools because they don't have the tax base they need in Republican districts. And what we're starting to see is that people are connecting the dots. It's taken a few years, and that's one of the challenges with politics. It takes a while for the policies and the realities to connect. And what Republicans take advantage of is the fact that a lot of folks have too many other things on their minds to worry about what's happening in their state house or what's happening in Congress until it affects their lives. And part of my responsibility as a candidate has been to talk to everyone, to go to Republican districts, Democratic areas, go to communities of color, white communities, go across the state and talk about the same issues everywhere. Because as the next governor, I need people to know I'm running to be the governor of all of Georgia, not just a select few.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? Yes. You've ran a really, really class race. And we just take our hat off to you, yeah. Ms. Abrams, because we've watched you come under attack from so many angles. And the class with which you stood there and handled every question, even when he backed out of debates, I got it, though. I sure got it. I wouldn't have went down there and debated you either. So. When he banged out the base, I said, this boy right here, I can't go to him and let this woman embarrass me like this. So we're saying to you, congratulations. We've been harping on this for weeks now. Yep. We are getting to the polls in record numbers. I want you to know that the entire Steve Harvey Morning Show went out and pre-voted and posted it on all of our
social
media.
Yes, we did.
And we wasn't ashamed about who we voted for. Me and my wife went back to Atlanta. We're good friends with a friend of yours, the, man, what's my name?
Palmer.
Vicky Palmer, Lord. Vicky and J.P. Palmer. And they told us about you, and we got on it right away. Thank you so much. You have our support today, and we're going to show up in record numbers, and we're going to send a message that the country, the way it's being represented, is not the way we want it represented, that we want to be an all-inclusive country, and we recognize the fact that you represent that, Miss Stacey Abrams, and today we're going to make you proud.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the civic spirit you've shown for helping us get the vote out.
Absolutely.
Yes, all of you.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the polls today, Miss Stacey Abrams.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Yes.
Our next governor. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations ahead of time, Miss Stacey Abrams. We wish you the best. We
yes,
love
we
you.
Do. Yes, we
Godspeed.
Do.
Godspeed.
You're
going
to do this today, girl.
We can do it. Yes, we can. Governor Abrams, Governor Stacey Abrams.
Keep saying it.
Up next, it is the nephew with today's prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Woo, I got a good one for you today. Subject, I can't stand a sorry man.
Mm.
All right, that's the subject.
That's mutual right now,
but that's not the letter.
I don't understand the letter. I can write the answer to the letter if you want me to.
Right now, it is the nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got for us?
Well, in lieu of what today is.
What is today again?
Today is election day.
Yes,
this
it is
voting day. Get out and vote. So the name of this prank is, who'd you vote for? What?
You can't ask people
get
that.
All in it, huh?
No, that ain't none of your business.
No, I'm all in your booth.
You in your booth.
Booth.
You all in the booth.
I'm in your booth.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Who'd you vote for? I'm in your booth.
Okay.
I need to know.
Well, that little thing you be scrolling down, I'm all in there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right? Don't vote just all the way down blue. You don't know you're doing that. Go individually.
I
went by each one. You know that?
Yeah, I had to vote it early, so I had to color mine in, the little dots. Yeah.
Y'all was coloring.
Yes. With a black ink pen.
That's a Scantron, eh?
We don't care. We'll take it.
Who'd you vote for? It is.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach an Ernest Newell.
This is him. Who is this?
Mr. Ernest Newell, I'm with Issue American Survey, and what we're doing is we're calling around to different households about the whole presidential race, but right now we're focusing on calling, we're focusing on calling black people.
Black people?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just something that we're doing, and we want to try and figure out exactly who you people are voting for, because that's important right now.
I don't think it's none of your damn business who I'm voting for.
Well, we want to know exactly which way the votes are going to be going here in the whole running of the presidential race, so we're just trying to figure out who you're voting for.
First of all, it really is none of your concern about who I'm voting for, but whoever I vote for, we getting y'all people out of there, I tell you that much. Because I'm tired of this bullshit. You can put that on your damn survey. But black folk, we tired of this bullshit. Tired of eating sardines and Indiana sergeant. We finna change this around.
Sir,
And if y'all must know, I'm voting for
well,
that's right.
Are you voting for him just because he's black now? Is that what you're doing?
You damn right.
That doesn't mean you sat back to see if he qualifies, sir. That's why we're calling y'all, because we think you're going about this whole thing wrong.
Well, I tell you what, even if we are going about it wrong, that's how we're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all done had Chanel, you had this time to names up. So, guess what? We finna change this around. You know what I'm saying? Y'all been there too long, we going to paint the White House black.
No, now one thing you're not going to do is paint the White House black. It's been white from day one, and you're not going to change that. Matter of fact, I want to tell you this. Don't y'all show up at none of them polls, or it's going to be some problems if you do, if you show up trying to vote.
Hey, man, how you going to tell them about who to show up, man? You got some nerve to be telling somebody who to show up and when to show up. Anyway, you ain't got no business calling me on my phone anyway. How you get my number anyway?
I don't,
you know what I'm saying? That's wrong with y'all damn white folks now. Y'all think y'all running. But guess what? That's ain't finna happen, baby. So y'all might as well just get ready for it. All that y'all been doing, that been getting cut out. And all that calling on the phone, trying to scare my. I like that. Yeah, because I'm just ready to get dead off of somebody. I wish somebody would be at the poll telling me who to vote for, who I can't vote for. We're going to show y'all my.
We're going to have people at them polls, and we're going to stop y'all from voting if you don't tell us ahead of time what you're doing and who you're voting for and why you're voting for them.
Man, you got some nerve. I mean, how'd you get my number, man? I'm serious, man. I'm at work. I'm trying to work, and I'm going to be arguing with you on the phone with some bull.
This is a survey. We are randomly calling black people, and we have the right to do that.
Okay, I understand it's a survey, but you need to watch how you talk to people, man. You can't just be calling people with that bull. Like that, you don't come calling somebody on the phone and talking to them like you ain't got no sense. You need to talk to me like you got some sense.
That's exactly what it's gonna be if you show up at them polls trying to vote.
Well, I tell you what, man, I'm gonna make sure I show up and I'm gonna vote for everybody or anybody I want to vote for. Anybody on the ballot that's black, that's who I'm voting for.
Let me tell you something. You're lucky we gave you the right to vote.
Now, lucky you gave me the right. You ain't give me my people earn the right to vote. If you got something else better to do, you need to go call somebody who worth calling. Because y'all going to stop with black folk, and we ain't going to hear that. We don't want to hear.
You go ahead and you send word to the rest of them people of yours that we better not catch them.
People of mine? Man, who the are you, man? That wrong the world today. Too many are like you. This is United States of America. I can vote and do whatever the I want to do.
You know what I'm saying?
I can do whatever the I want to do.
You listen to me. You're going to go in that poll thing, and you're going to vote for me.
I vote for whoever the I want to vote for, cuz. You need to stop calling my phone, and don't call my number again. And you can tell them other to kiss my black. I tell you that much. You. Man, why in the you still calling me? Didn't I tell you don't call my phone, man?
I'm doing a survey. And
man, I don't give a. I told you, man, stop calling my phone, man. I'm voting. We all voting. Matter of fact, we having a barbecue. Signing everybody up to vote. We voting. All us voting. You know what I'm saying?
We're doing a survey, and you're going to answer these questions I got for you.
I asked you to stop calling my phone,
and
man.
I asked you not to show up at them polls and vote, too.
I'm voting for my brother. His ass in jail. I'm voting for that, too. Like I told you, everybody that I know that don't even know how to spell vote. We gonna vote.
He might be smart and all, but that young fella can't run this country like we can. We know what it takes to run this country. I know we've gone through some a few glitches here and there, but it ain't been that bad.
Y'all don't load up, and you know they don't play that. They got technology over there. All they got to do is just wink. They now they can. Y'all ain't with them. Yeah.
We're not afraid of anybody, and you better be afraid to come to them polls. You hear me?
Man, I ain't worried about your and nobody else that you with.
You listen to me. I got one more thing that I need to say to you. Are you listening to me?
Man, you. I don't listen to you. I don't listen to your enough.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy, Johnson.
Oh, man.
Johnson, he put me up to it, big dog.
God, man. Man, you got to be kidding, man. I don't got to add this, man. Man, I'm about to pull this truck on. I'll be ran over somebody.
You all right, Ernest?
Man, that's cold, man. Don't tell him I done got ganked. Lord have mercy.
Hey, look, one thing I do know, I know you voting. I know that.
You right. Hey, saying you right, I'm voting. I don't give a damn who called me up. I'm still voting.
Okay. I got to ask you one more thing, dog. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Off the
there it is. How y'all? Was it all right?
At least we voted. Man. It's election day.
You better get out and vote.
Right.
All right.
Who you vote for?
Let me put this out there. November 9th and 10th. Fitz, Tunica, Casino, and what? Tunica, Mississippi. Two shows. One on Friday, one on Saturday. That's this coming week, right?
Uh-huh.
Can I say something?
Say it.
Sold out. They gone. Ain't no more.
Congratulations.
Gone. They gone. November 15th through the 17th.
funny bone, Richmond, Virginia. Can I say it?
Say it.
Sold out.
Oh, look at you.
You better ask somebody. That's them two words that everybody looking for, every entertainer's looking for. Now, November 23rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have not checked yet. We are at Devo's Performance Hall. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to let y'all know if that thing is what?
Sold out.
I'll let you know, all right? But right now, Tunica, all tickets gone. Richmond, Virginia, all tickets gone. We sold out November 23rd, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Thank you, nephew.
Giving him an opportunity.
Oh, I didn't know what he was trying to say. You know, he scared me sometimes.
All right, up next, it is the Strawberry Letter. Subject, I can't stand a sorry man. We'll get into the letter right after this.
It's mutual.
Whatever, that's not the letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up, it is Election Day, you know that, and 41 after the hour today, we're going to have political commentator Bakari Sellers joining us. We love his commentary. Woo-hoo! He knows his politics. That's coming up again at 41 after the hour. But right now, it is time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice on relationships, dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to Steve Harvey FM and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Okay? We could be reading yours live on the air, just like we're going to do this one. Ready, nephew? Let's go.
Let's go. Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
You know Billy Dee Williams was here.
Yeah.
You gonna He's let not.
My... Hey, let me be Billy Dee when I want to be Billy Dee.
I was
let
thinking.
You be great.
Yeah. You know. All right, here we go. Thank you.
Strawberry Letter.
Woodrow.
Huh, Steve?
Tommy reminded me of Woodrow on Sanford and Son.
Woodrow? I asked his husband.
Now, yeah. What does that tell you, huh, Fred? What does that tell you?
Subject, I can't stand a sorry man. Dear Stephen Shirley, I am a 36-year-old single mother of four who met a very handsome Army vet at work back in 2016. After dating for 6 months, he told me that he had to move out of his rental home because the owners had sold it, and he asked me if he could stay with me for a while. Against my better judgment, I agreed to let him move in temporarily. A month later, he was laid off from his job. 2 months after that, his car got repossessed. So he was unemployed and did not have transportation to go job hunting or to go on job interviews. While he was out of work and was not bringing money into the household, he cooked and cleaned and did all of the yard work, but I had to constantly prompt him to do these things. I got fed up with coming home and seeing him on the couch playing videos, so I gave him an ultimatum: to find a job or leave. He has a job now, but he only makes enough money to take care of himself, and there's nothing left for bills or groceries. This has put a major strain on our relationship and intimacy because his lack of ambition is such a turnoff. I need for him to get out so I can move on with my life. When I talk to him about moving, he said he has no plans to leave anytime soon because he needs to save up some money first. I already have four children, and I don't need a fifth child. Stephen Shirley, please help me figure out how to get this grown man out of my house. Well, you're absolutely right in saying this. This grown man has got to get out of your home. He really does. Sometimes, you know, we as ladies, we're just a bit too nice, aren't we? And we don't listen to ourselves, to our intuition, do we? You said against your better judgment. That was you telling yourself you shouldn't do this. So you already knew when you allowed him to come into your home. And I don't care. No one is that handsome. No one. All right? He's taking advantage of you. He's taking advantage of your four kids. And now, you know, you cannot allow him to do this any longer. You got to let him know today, without any hesitation, without any second thought, that he has to go. If you're nervous, if you're a little, you know, apprehensive about doing it, please have someone with you, preferably a male or two or three. You got to have someone with you when you tell him. You also have to change the locks on the doors, all of that. Pack his clothes, whatever you have to do. But this man has to go, okay? You've gone over and beyond the call of duty with this vet, and there's no need for you to do anything else except for show him the door, the way out. Steve?
Well, this letter don't make no sense from the beginning. You're a 36-year-old single mother of four. You met a handsome Army vet at work in 2016. After dating 6 months, he said he got to move out his rental home because they sold it. Then he asked you, could he come stay for a while? See, me right here, I'd already started counting people in rooms. Already. See, y'all, you got 4 kids that you love and take care of. You 36. I don't know what you stay in with all them rooms, but I'd have just started counting rooms and people. A month later, he got laid off from his job after he moved in. Then got his car repossessed. See, wow. See, if you got put out your rental house, your next move should be to go get another rental house. Not to come and leech off this woman, single mother, trying to make ends meet. I mean, just right there, why would you burden her with that? Now, she didn't know how burdensome you was going to become, and then you went on and proved it. A month later, you got laid off from your job. 2 months after that, the car got repossessed. Okay. So 3 months, he ain't made a car payment. They making some serious phone calls at 3 months. Mm. He let him pick up the car.
So.
How they repossess his car?
Yeah.
He ain't at work, so they know where he work. He ain't at work. And he ain't at his house because they took the house. How they know the car was over there at your house? I'm just trying to, telling you, man, repo people ain't that good.
They need info, don't they?
Yeah, man. How did they, what?
Is he really?
But in the third month, though, stupid. Then he wasn't out of work. He wasn't bringing in no money into the house. He tried to cook and clean and did the yard work, but you had to constantly prompt him to do things. Then you coming home, he on the couch playing video games. He wanted the kids for real now. So you told him to find a job or leave. Well, now he got a job now, but he only makes enough money to take care of himself, and there's nothing left for bill or groceries. I don't understand this. What is he doing with the money if he ain't helping you with it? He has no car. Car note gone. He ain't got no rent. The rent gone. But now he, and he still ain't pitching in. Sorry. Now he ain't sorry, man. This dude right here is he's a little worse than sorry. But you can't help this woman at all with these 4 kids. Whatever money you making ought to go into the pile to help out. You've been living on her for months now. He has put a major strain on our relationship and intimacy. Because I won't sleep with nobody broke. Nope. It's up in here. You ever slept with a broke man before? It's got to be hard. Damn. He in here wanting all this from you. What? Come on now, let me have it. Come on, do it to me. Come on home, put your leg over here. Hey, you ain't working. Right. Not putting my leg nowhere. This all I'm doing. Wait, don't touch me.
Nope, that's it. All right, Steve, hold that thought, okay? We're going to have part two of your response to this letter, this crazy relationship, right after this. We'll be back at 23 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up in about 20 minutes, Bakari Sellers from CNN will be here to talk about this very special election day. And right now, come on, Steve, let's recap today's Strawberry Letter. Part two of your response, the subject, I can't stand a sorry man.
Sorry man, met him here in the military, moved him in, he fell out, lost his house. She moved in with her, he lose his job, they took his car, he ain't paying rent. He paying at the laying at the house watching videos. You coming home, you getting frustrated. And now you say that him not working and chipping in, and he got a job, but his job don't let him chip in because he need all the money for himself. It has affected your intimacy. Sleeping with a broke man. God, that's got to be hard. It has got to be hard.
Think back when you were
suck
broke.
Your
you
teeth.
Was broke and people slept with you, though.
And it had to be hard. What is you sleeping with me for? You see I'm homeless. Mm-hmm. All my stuff in my car. We can't go nowhere without moving stuff. I had stuff in the passenger seat.
Yeah. You still need love. Pope even need love.
Need no love. You get love, give love to somebody that can give you something back.
But can two poor people do each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they do it all the time.
Yeah. They do it too much, too.
Yeah.
They really need to be somewhere sitting down. Then they mess around and have a baby. Now everybody up in here poor. Now the baby don't even know what reality is no more. He just struggling because y'all done made an ignorant ass decision. Yeah. Poor ass little baby sitting up in here talking about why we ain't got no TV.
That's what the baby said.
Yeah. Where are you going with this?
Mama, what is all these candles for in here?
Yeah. I love when he talks to a baby.
I know.
Man. Damn, Mama, what's happening?
You need a cartoon.
Why are we eating these cornflakes with this tap water on it? Mama.
For dinner.
Mama, didn't we have cornbread yesterday? Pop. Why I got to get hit every time I ask about this cornbread? Pop. Okay, damn. I ain't going to say nothing else about this damn cornbread.
Back to the letter.
I'm in the letter. This is the letter. Them damn kids is complaining.
Four kids she has, Steve.
Mama, I can't play the video game because he in there. Mama, Uncle Jerome told me I can't sit on the couch watch TV because he playing Madden.
Is he really a vet, Steve? I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, he a vet, but he giving them a bad name. Mm-hmm. That's just like it, cops is cool till they start getting bad names for some bad cops. So anyway, I already have four children. I don't need a fifth. Steve and Shirley. Please help me figure out how to get this grown man out of my house. I have a solution.
Let's hear it.
You feel unsafe. You don't feel secure with him around. All you got to do is say that to anybody at the court, and you'll have a restraining order. Oh. He can't come within 100 yards of that house. And all you want is a restraining order. He got to go. You know, you've asked him to leave. He says, he had to know. This is what killed me about sorry-ass people. You asked him to leave. He said he has no plans to leave anytime soon because he needs to save up money, some money first. Dog, I don't give a damn where you saving it. Go save it at your mama's house. You got partners, go save it at one of the Army vets' house. Go back to the Army. And they ain't got bags for him or nothing. I don't know how it worked, but it seemed like they ought to let you stay in the barracks, re-sign up and do basic training again. That'll give you 6 weeks. Get on back down there to Paris Island. Fort Bragg. Get yourself signed up. That's it, lady. You need a restraining order. He's worthless. And get the restraining order because you don't feel safe. That's all you have to say. You don't need a court date. You just need a restraining order.
Oh, okay.
That puts his ass out. You ain't sleeping with him no way.
Change those lives.
You know, he asking y'all having sex. He talking about whose is it? It's the bank's.
Not yours.
You ask me whose.
Not yours. It's the bank's.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot going on, so that's my response.
I feel
to
for her. I do.
That's trifling, man.
Yeah, I do. She's just 36. She's got four kids and this man.
And, you know, she met this dude. He an Army vet. You thinking, wow, discipline?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I asked you that. Exactly.
Discipline people. Soldiers, military people are disciplined. Mm-hmm. People of honor.
Yeah.
Respectable.
Yeah.
You know, man, they know how to complete a task. They teamwork. That's what I've always thought of when I think of military people, how they function and react in life. I know a lot of military people who are really, really good folk, man.
Up early, get it done. They get up early.
Oh, dog, I'm talking about, man. Yeah.
Neat. All of that.
Oh, can he go in there, raising his voice up?
Bet not. Can he care about his room? Move it. Kids in there. Who are you hollering at? Right. Your non-working ass. What is you talking about? Get up off this couch and move it. You move it.
crazy. Yeah, she's got to take care of her kids. Four kids. She's 36. Yeah. She's just 36 years old. He's not helping
probably
her
real
at all.
Nice lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shirley, you said Tommy was handsome.
You ain't seen me on my show, boy. I'm sexy. You ain't seen me?
Man. Shirley, wear glasses.
Shut up, Junior.
All right, listen.
But then when they describe you, I said, that ain't Tommy.
We got to go, guys. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Coming up in 10 minutes, he will be here. Political pundit, political broadcaster, our friend Bakari Sellers in the building.
Very good.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, everybody. I told you we were going to have some great guests today. We got another special guest. He's a noted politician and attorney. He's one of the youngest state representatives and the youngest black elected official in the United States. He's currently a political correspondent for CNN. And I invited him on the show today because it's voting day. It is time to make a move. And I just thought that his insight and his commentary could move some people today. Because we need everybody to get to the polls. Please welcome our friend, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, thank y'all so much. Thank you.
Bakari, just take it away, man. How significant is it today? What do you say to people who say my vote doesn't count? What do you say to people who are sitting on the sidelines? How would you stir and spur people to vote?
Well, there are a few things. The first thing I would say is if your vote wasn't important, people wouldn't work so hard to try to take it from you. That's first and foremost. The second thing is I'm tired of having people who don't represent us, who don't look like us, who don't understand our culture, determining our future, determining our children's future. I mean, what's on the ballot is not just an individual, but it's HBCU funding. It's healthcare for your children and your grandparents. Mm-hmm. It's making sure that we're not in senseless wars. It's making sure that you have a living wage, the teachers get paid what they need to get paid. We always say that this election is the most important election of our lifetime, but today truly is. And the last thing is my father was shot in the Orangeburg Massacre, February 8, 1968, on the campus of South Carolina State. He was in prison. He was housed on death row just so that I could stand on his shoulders and we would have an opportunity to cast our ballot. So I don't take it for granted. And we're not asking you to shed any blood. We're not asking you to go to prison, but we are asking you to stand in line and vote and exercise your franchise because it's that important.
Wow. A lot of these elections are really close. What would you say on behalf of the Stacey Abrams and the Gilliams and the Epseys and people like that? I mean, you've heard what you said before, but what would you say to get people to get out there and make this happen for folks like that?
Well, man, look, first, I have to just take my hat off to Stacey Abrams because I don't think people fully comprehend how hard it is to be young, black, Democratic, and female in the South. And to do and accomplish what she's already accomplished, right. I mean, it is a plus. I mean, that is amazing. And to overcome, I mean, she is running against a Lester Maddox throwback. Like, the voter suppression that Brian Kemp is attempting to exert on old people and people of color is unlike anything else. And she's so strong. I mean, I'd be furious. I'd be ready to put hands or something. You know, it's different. But she is so strong. And so I give her the utmost respect. And, you know, now we can't let them down. They've done everything. The Mike Espies, the Andrew Gillums, the Stacey Abrams. But let me also say this. It's important for the listeners you have in Memphis and Shelby County in that area to turn out for Bill Bresden in Tennessee. It's important in Arkansas to turn out for Frank Scott. It's important in New Jersey to make sure they turn out for Andy Kim in Cincinnati and Ohio to turn out for Asep Pureval, because what's been going on in Washington, D.C. is they've been running over us, not caring about us. If we're not at the table, then we on the menu. And we're not at the table right now.
Yes.
That is so true. it's been interesting watching this. And Donald Trump said something. He said, a vote for them is a vote for me. It's like this guy takes every moment, and then he's trying to distance himself from the possibility of what it looks like they're going to lose the House. I've never seen a more petty person in office anywhere, let alone the presidency.
Well, no, he's a sociopath. So let's, I mean, and you know, let's just call it what it is. And he is on the ballot. I mean, do you, over the past 4 weeks, I mean, we keep going back to this, but on the past 4 weeks, we've seen anti-Semitism, xenophobia, and bigotry raise its ugly head or rear its ugly head in the form of violence. That's a manifestation of his words. I was at Mother Emanuel AME this past Sunday. It's probably the only place in the country that could feel the same pain that the synagogue in Pittsburgh felt.
Right.
And the pastor was so deep. And the pastor spoke from Proverbs, and he talked about the fact that your tongue can speak life or death. And what we have right now is a president who does not speak life into anyone but himself.
Wow.
So we have to go out there and elect candidates who will repudiate that, who will stop that rhetoric at every turn, because we have an entire generation of people who are born into this country, and they think that school shootings are commonplace. They think that they can't worship in peace, that they can't be gay and be happy and not be judged. That they can't go to schools where their teachers are paid the right prices and right salaries, and their buildings aren't falling apart. So, I mean, we have to have someone, a candidate or candidates who speak life. And that's why Andrew Gillum is so tough, and Stacey Abrams is so tough, and Beto O'Rourke in Texas is so tough, because they use their tongue to speak life into their constituents. And I don't know if it's going to be enough, but I want everybody to know I'm so damn proud of all of them. That I'm going to do everything I can until my last breath tomorrow to make sure that I do everything I can to get him over the hump.
Well,
all right.
This is exactly why we wanted you on the show. Thank you so much, Bakari. Thank you for your support, for your leadership, for your insight. It's just been incredible this entire election, and it's going to happen, man. We're going to get out here and get it done. So thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man.
The crazy part about all of this is Wednesday morning, the race for president of the United States began. So if you thought it was over,
Oh, Lord.
A whole nother gear kicks in.
A whole nother gear. Y'all have fun. Be safe.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up, an encore presentation of our interview with hopefully the next governor of Georgia. We're going to claim it and put it out there, Miss Stacey Abrams, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, everybody, joining us now, we promised you it was going to be a morning of just some great interviews today. We have the Democratic gubernatorial candidate in the state of Georgia. She will be the first African-American female governor in Georgia.
Yes.
And as the next governor of Georgia, she's committed to expanding Medicaid, improving public schools, creating good-paying jobs across the state. She's uniquely equipped to create a Georgia where everyone has the freedom and opportunity to thrive. This is one of the tightest governor's races in the nation, and your vote today, and we are harping on this and have been for the past 6 weeks, your vote today matters. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Miss Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Hello.
Well, Miss Abrams, how are you?
I am good. We are 12 hours away from victory. This is huge, and I'm just so honored to be in the position to help make history in America.
This has been a tough race. How would you describe this campaign, and what do you think you've tried to convey?
I think that this has been a very tough campaign and spirited, but what I've tried to do from the very beginning is stand on my values. I was raised by my parents to believe in faith and family and service, and that we have a responsibility to do what's right. And so if you look at my campaign from the beginning till the very end, we have run on the same three issues: education, healthcare, and jobs. Because I know if you have access to those three things, your life can be better in Georgia and across the country.
Yeah. Hey, now let me talk to you about healthcare for 1 second, because we're getting some conflicting information, because all of a sudden I've noticed that your opponent and other opponents in the other party are saying that they don't want to do away with pre-existing conditions. But what they're actually doing is actually that very same thing.
I think the word you're looking for is they're hypocrites. and that's part of the challenge of this election, that they have counted on, especially in midterms, they've counted on people not paying attention. And what has happened is that they work hard to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, to block access to Medicaid expansion. They've voted multiple times to end protections for pre-existing conditions. And they're hoping that the short-term memories and long-term memories of voters won't recall what they've done. Part of the responsibility that I've had, that candidates across this country have had, is to remind people of who they are, that these are not people you can trust with your health care, with your jobs, or with your education, because they are not going to tell us the truth.
Yeah. What's been, Ms. Abrams, the thing that you've wanted to stress the most in your campaign? If you could pull out one or two points, what you're stressing?
I talk about Medicaid expansion because it is the crux in a state like Georgia of so many other opportunities. We have 500,000 Georgians who are denied access to health care. That means if you have a stroke in certain parts of the state of Georgia, you can die before you see a doctor. But it's also about the economics. It's about making sure that we can create thousands of jobs across Georgia. And then most personally to me, it's about criminal justice reform. And people don't think about Medicaid expansion and criminal justice in the same breath. But in the Deep South, the number one provider of mental health care is not our hospitals, it's our prison system. And we have a lot of folks who are going to jail because they haven't gotten the help they need for bipolar disorder, for schizophrenia, for a range of mental health challenges.
Do you think that people out here really understand that what your opponent is against, as well as so many other Republicans, they're against things that they call set-asides? And Medicaid fits into that category as a set-aside for them.
Medicaid is about covering a gap. What people have to remember is that the way we get health care in America is through insurance. You get private insurance through your employer. If you are older or if you're disabled, you get Medicaid. If you're elderly, you can get Medicare. But there's nothing for those who work full-time but don't get coverage unless they can pay for it out of pocket. Medicaid expansion provides coverage, but it reduces costs for everybody. Because the reality is poor people get sick and they go to the doctor. The problem is if they can't pay the bill, the rest of us do. Medicaid expansion means that they actually put their part of the bill through a common pool. That reduces everyone's costs. And it's actually the smartest economic decision we can make in Georgia.
Wow. Oh, okay, now let me stay here for a second. Because Medicaid and education, these are things that affect Republicans also.
Absolutely.
What is it that the Republican Party is saying to their constituents that's causing them to not understand that?
Well, what's happening in Georgia is it's no longer working. 70% of Georgians want Medicaid expansion, and here's why. They've lost hospitals in Republican districts. They've lost jobs in Republican districts. Their kids can't go to well-funded schools because they don't have the tax base they need in Republican districts. And what we're starting to see is that people are connecting the dots. It's taken a few years, and that's one of the challenges with politics. It takes a while for the policies and the realities to connect. And what Republicans take advantage of is the fact that a lot of folks have too many other things on their minds to worry about what's happening in their state house or what's happening in Congress until it affects their lives. And part of my responsibility as a candidate has been to talk to everyone, to go to Republican districts, Democratic areas, go to communities of color, white communities, go across the state and talk about the same issues everywhere. Because as the next governor, I need people to know I'm running to be the governor of all of Georgia, not just a select few. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you so much. You have our support today, and we're going to show up in record numbers, and we're going to send a message that the country, the way it's being represented, is not the way we want it represented. That we want to be an all-inclusive country, and we recognize the fact that you represent that, Ms. Stacey Abrams. And today, we're going to make you proud.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the civic spirit you've shown for helping us get the vote out.
Absolutely.
All of you.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the polls today, Ms. Stacey Abrams.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Yes.
Our next governor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The state of Oregon goes back to the basics for elections. While states across the country are worried about hackers and election meddling, Oregon is sitting pretty right now. That's because they have gone old school. Gone are voting machines, all of that. Instead, residents there are mailed paper ballots that they fill out and mail back. That's the way they have done things in the state for 20 years they've done it that way.
How many people? That's a lot of counting.
20 years, okay.
20 years.
So you can just, like, not open somebody's damn mail.
But man, so far, so good, though. It produces, they say, consistently high voter turnout numbers.
How many people there, Shirley?
I don't know how many people. Yeah.
The population.
You can look it up. Google it.
Okay, I'll do it. But somebody finna open up all that mail.
So they just, you know.
How do you think they did it before they got voting machines and stuff like that?
I understand that.
Yeah.
But we got that many people working in Oregon?
Is that a problem? Evidently.
It's Oregon.
Yes.
Wow. This boy here, man.
Where are you going with this?
I don't understand.
Like, I don't live in Oregon. I'm just reporting the story.
They just going to do this in Oregon?
Killing the messenger. Wow. Talk about that.
I just like to refer back to earlier in the show. So he said, I deliberately do stupid stuff.
No.
I love the stuff that he be concerned about.
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
4.1 million people in Oregon.
Now, see, how does that feel?
And we're going to open up all this mail.
Well, some of them is kids.
Come on.
Yeah, some of them are babies.
Answer my question.
Let's just say half of that, 2.1.
How does that feel? Answer that.
You worried about if they opening the envelopes?
I'm worried about the votes. How is we getting all these votes in?
In Oregon?
In Oregon. Today. Yeah.
Don't your ass live in Texas and L.A.?
A little bit of Atlanta. I'm all over the place.
What is you all up in Oregon?
Well, why should you read the damn story then? What are we talking about?
I wanted to tell you guys, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The voting system is so popular in Oregon that the majority of both parties back it.
Shirley, I heard you, but
yeah. Thank you, Steve.
You caused 10 to.
No.
So they just going to open all that mail.
Today.
That's how they've been doing it for 20 years. Did you not hear me? Mm-hmm. They say you can't hack paper. That's according to the Secretary of State.
Why is this concern of his?
He cares, Steve.
He cares about
Oregon, okay?
He's the hothead on the show.
Hey, man, have you ever performed in Oregon?
Never have.
Never been to Portland?
No, I did plays in Portland. That's the only thing I've done in Portland.
Oh, but you wasn't up there.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I have. I was with Luther in Oregon years ago. I did Oregon a little bit.
You said you were doing plays. Luther ain't been in no play.
No, I just said I've done plays and I opened for Luther in Oregon. I made a mistake, brother.
Calm down.
I performed there a couple times.
We'll be back with more of this crazy ignorant show right after this.
Who stole Papa Ray was scheduled to go up there.
We didn't make it up there.
What was that about? Who stole Papa Ray's money?
It was scheduled to go to Oregon.
That's how you throw rocks.
We didn't make it.
That's
up there.
The rock you throw. You give it to
it was
somebody.
Going to Oregon.
Well, what happened? What happened though?
They saw that play. They were laughing so damn hard at MTSD.
We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Right now, in today's entertainment news, Steve, Rihanna says she does not want her music being played at Trump rallies anymore. The presidential playlist wasn't even on Riri's radar until she got a tweet from Washington Post reporter Philip Rucker, who wrote, It's been said a million times, but here's a million and one. Trump's rallies are unlike anything else in politics. Currently, Rihanna's Don't Stop the Music is blaring in Chattanooga as aides toss free Trump T-shirts into the crowd like a ball game. Everyone's loving it. Rihanna responded, not for much longer, okay?
Yeah.
Me nor my people would ever be at or around one of these tragic rallies. So thanks for the heads up, Philip.
Yeah.
Remember last month, Pharrell was upset. We talked about that on this show. He did not want his song Happy being played. He was upset when he heard his song Happy. It was being played at Trump rallies.
Happy at a Trump rally.
Yeah.
With all this sad ass information.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's...
Who's DJing the rally? But that's what we need to find out. Who's DJing the rally? Who's playing this music?
But don't worry. He'll get a letter shortly.
Okay. Cease and desist. Cease and desist.
Want to play Kanye?
Hello?
Play your son's music.
Gold digger? What is he going to play?
I ain't saying he no gold digger.
All right, in other entertainment news, Wesley Snipes is in trouble again with the IRS.
He can't be. You can't be.
I don't think he ever got out of the last one, Steve.
What are you? Yeah,
I thought after he did time.
No, when you go to jail, dog.
Yeah, that's what I
but when you get out, you still owe, don't you? You don't just.
You got to pay, dog. If you go to jail for something, go ahead, Shirley. What's the story?
But you gotta work. How many movies you seen since he been out?
I wish his TV show had made it, because I really liked his TV show.
What was it, The Player?
Yeah, The
Player. One in Vegas, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, it was
What's
good.
What's the story, Shirley?
All right. Why are you mad, Steve?
Because we're being trouble.
I just can't deal with you. Come on.
Okay. All right, listen. They want him to pay $23.5 million. Wesley claims he's only got $850,000. Basically, Wesley, who served 3 years in jail after being convicted of 3 misdemeanor counts of failing to file tax returns, wanted to settle his case and have the lien taken off his house. The IRS lowered his original bill from $23.5 to $17.5 million, and they rejected his offer. Now he's filed a petition to overturn that decision.
You know what I think?
So he's fighting it.
I think Steve should give it to him. I think
here's the deal. You know, if you I think the IRS is a bit unfair.
Yeah.
If you haven't filed and you owe the money, and then you go, you've been out of work 3 years because you've been in prison. Mm-hmm. You can't make it. So where's he going to get it from? You know, I mean, and then 3 years in jail, I mean, you got your 23. Come on, man. That's being a little bit much.
So it is. It is.
Well, it's a lot of money.
Better get busy in these movies. Passenger 58 coming.
No, well, you can't just go make movies.
Yeah, you got to have the backing. You got to have...
Who want food?
Yeah.
Well, you got to be a box office draw.
Yeah,
you know?
You do. Yeah.
Don't nobody know nothing, huh?
All right, we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show. And to close out the show, one last break right after this, coming up at 49 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are, Steve. Last break of the day on this very important day, Election Day 2018.
Yes, it is.
Midterm elections. Yeah.
Well, see.
What's happening, Steve? What you thinking?
Well, let's do something different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you
mean? We've been... imploring, is that the word?
That's good.
Yes,
I'm gonna go with
people
it.
People to vote.
Close.
It sound good.
To vote, we've been asking people to vote. We've been laying out reasons why you should vote. Mm-hmm. We've explained our personal experience with voting. So the only thing left for me to do today on this important day is to have the crew just ask me questions. And no matter what you ask me, watch how I answer. But ask me questions about anything.
Anything.
Relationship, money, jewelry, travel. Watch how I
answer. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Steve, we know that today is Mississippi Monica's birthday. We have to get that in. So what are you going to get her for a birthday?
I'm going to get that dude Epsy in Mississippi. I'm going to make him.
Oh, Espy? Mike Espy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make Epsy. I'm going to get him in office because I'm going to have the people in Mississippi vote.
People vote. Uh-huh.
He said anything you ask him, that's how
he's
going to
Yeah, that's what her. Your gift today will be Mike Epsy.
Hey, his name is Espy.
Hey, do you think it could be motivative for women to use that against for men to get them going there and vote? Could that be something they can do?
Say the question again.
Like, you think women could use that to motivate men to go vote? Like, you know, we got a treat for you when you get home if you go vote.
Well, I think that's a good way to do it. I know if I'm getting a treat, I'm going in there voting for everything. And so, you know, we going to be voting. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to carry you down there to the polls with me so you can see me vote. Because I don't want no trouble when we get back to the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
The black guy with the ponytail that stands behind Trump. What would you tell him on a voting day like today?
That they don't care nothing about you. I don't even know why you standing over there. You always over there by your own black self. That ought to be a clue right there. Sitting up in here with your hair pulled back. I don't know what you are.
Holding a sign, Stevenson.
Yeah, I don't know. He had a Trump Pence t-shirt on.
Oh, Lord.
You so stupid.
What would you say to people that feel like, you know, the president is making this election all about him? What would you say to that person?
Well, I'd say they're absolutely correct. He's not only made this election about him, he's made the office of the presidency about him. Mm-hmm. He has made everything, every policy has been about him. Mm-hmm. And if we're sick and tired of his policy, if we're sick and tired of the way he's portraying us as Americans, then we got to send a clear message to him that this will not be tolerated and we got to vote today.
Okay, I hear you talking about that. Was good. I hear you talking about voting. Today is election day. But how do I know my vote is going to count today?
Well, see, when you cast it, when you cast it, it's computerized. And that's how it counts. Let me tell you what.
Okay.
If you're asking that question, how do I know my vote counts? That means you didn't vote before. And now Donald Trump ass is in the White House.
You better speak on it.
And you
so
fed
now,
up.
What else do you need, Mr. Do I Count? Well, when you don't count for show, this is what we end up.
Okay. You on a boat. It's sinking. You and Trump trying to decide who get the last life vest. What do you tell him?
I'll be out there floating on his chunky ass. You can have the damn life vest. I want you to live. I don't want nothing to happen to him. But while you holding the life vest, I'll be on your big ass back.
Doing fine.
Good, because I know he floats.
That's good. All right, Unc, well, let me ask you, Unc, what do we tell people if they ask who we voted for? What do we tell
I'm
them?
Voting for anybody but him. Because he clearly said the other day, a vote for Republicans is a vote for me. Well, I'm voting for anybody but you. So if a vote for Republican is a vote for you, then doggone it, Democratic it is.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Carl.
Just off the top of your head, who do you think will be the next governor of the state of Georgia?
This woman named Stacey Abrams.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who I feel will be the next governor of Georgia. Stacey Abrams. I think Abrams. I think she's qualified. I think she ran a great race. I think she stunned a lot of people.
Yes.
And I think it's time. I think it's time for a change. I've always said this 100 times on this show. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you keep been getting. And if what you've been getting for Kemp, you don't like it, then it's time for change. What has Kemp done for the state of Georgia? I live there. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Who do you think will be the next governor of the state of Florida?
Yeah. I'm just going to put it to you like this. The black dude.
Andrew Gillum. Come on, Florida. Come on. Yes.
Because once again, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. And those two in debates have made a real more than valid points, and they look better than their opponents, and I say they deserve a chance to represent us in the House. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Those are our closing remarks. Hey, y'all, get out and vote today.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.